Does the media simply reflect what's happening in the culture, or does the media heavily influence what's happening in the culture? And are there messages coming your way through the media changing your thinking and you don't even know it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, in just a few days, I am going to have quite a story to tell you. You have no idea what is happening with this debate scheduled for tomorrow night at University of Central Florida in Orlando on same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? The amount of uproar, I can't even begin to tell you the story now, and I won't tell you the entire story until the event is history, but trust me, this is becoming an event. This is verifying everything I've written and spoken to about those that have been listening to me for years. Boy, oh boy, but this is what we have been made for, is it not? Let the light shine even in the most controversial, difficult places. But please be praying with us. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to get in the program, and I'm going to ask you a very simple question. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday, which means we focus in particular on moral and cultural issues. We focus on the media today, especially Hollywood, the movies, but even other aspects of the media. Does the media simply reflect what's happening in culture? Is the media pretty much a mirror for what is happening in the culture? Or, to the contrary, is the media driving what's happening in the culture? Is the media exaggerating what is happening in the culture? 866-34-TRUTH, or join the discussion on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. By the way, right at the beginning of the show yesterday, seconds before the show started, we had a power outage in our studio in Winston-Salem, from whence this program is broadcast around the country. And right seconds before it started, everybody was scrambling, able to get things back up and running. But some of you may have heard a different beginning to the show, and then suddenly I joined you with another show. Well, that's what happened. Is that wild? I mean, just a few seconds before power goes and cables not working. But anyway, we are live with you right now. And it is 2:02:49 Eastern Standard Time for those that would like an update. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I don't like being manipulated, personally. I don't know anyone that does. If you're in a relationship and this person is always manipulating you, doing in subtle ways or psychological tricks or games or trying to get you to see things a certain way, nobody likes that. Nobody appreciates that. Well, listen to this. This is a stated strategy from gay activists writing in the late 80s. And they spoke of this. This was their goal. The conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Can I read that again? This is two well-known social scientists, Harvard-trained gay authors. Many conservatives point to their book and say, boy, this book is really influential. Gay activists say, we never heard of this book. The fact is, this reflected well-known gay activist strategies of the day. They articulated it brilliantly, and whether it was through their book or just the strategies being in the air, the things happen. So they wrote a book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s, and they spoke of this goal, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Is the media simply reflecting what's happening in the culture? It's a mirror. Or is the media helping to drive what's happening, influencing, even manipulating people's thinking through what is presented in different ways day and night? Surveys done in recent years indicated there was a very, very high number of people in the media that were the opposite side of our moral values. We'll talk about this when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Does the media reflect the culture or does the media drive the culture? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Moral, cultural, spiritual revolution means we need to see what is influencing us. Look, if we are called to be a counterculture people, if we are called to swim against the tide and to go against the grain, which certainly, surely, as followers of Jesus, we must recognize we are called to do, then that means we're going to have to renew our mind according to the word. That means we've got to get rid of the polluting, destructive thoughts, the influences that are corrupting, and we've got to bathe our hearts and minds with scripture, truth, with who God is, with how he wants us to live, with what is right, what is wrong. Otherwise, we'll get brainwashed. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You can click on that for relevant resources for today, as well as get involved in a discussion there. I research this a lot, in particular, having to do with gay activism and the media. And it's Chapter 5, Brokeback Mountain, the Fab Five, and Hollywood's celebration of queer in A Queer Thing Happened to America. So there's a whole chapter dealing with this. So I focused on this in particular, but I want to talk about this much more broadly. Polygamy, polyamory, multiple loving relationships, multiple wives, that's something that, you know, here and there in the culture, but you got these big shows, big love, and there's another one or two that are out in the media going after these things. I remember 15 years ago, I was in Pensacola, Florida. Our older daughter, Jennifer, had come down with me as I was participating in some meetings there, and we were waiting to go out later that day. She decided to flip on the TV, and there was some dating show, and here's some girl, and will she choose this guy? And then she chooses another girl, and we both like, what? What? 15 years ago, I mean, now it's like, yeah, you got no surprise with that whatsoever. There's so much people get bombarded by. People were telling me, you know, storyline, there was this thing about an adopted baby, and it was such a powerful story, and then it ends up that the people are going to adopt them. It's a same-sex couple. And the person said it added nothing to the drama or the story whatsoever, but again, was just getting that image out in front of people. Is it disproportionate? I say absolutely. Michael Medved, who I've often quoted in this regard, and I quote him in the book, he said, a Martian gathering evidence about American society simply by monitoring our television would certainly assume that there were more gay people in America than there are evangelical Christians. I mean, soap operas, I guess they're still on in the daytime. Does that reflect your average American home? Is that the way most couples are? Is there that much promiscuity? Is there that much adultery? Are there that many kids conceived out of wedlock and whatever else is in the soap operas? Is that the norm, or is the media flooding us with junk, with filth, with more sensationalistic, racy stuff? I said right before the break that newscasters were surveyed. This is well known. A few years ago, a survey of many, many newscasters across the country, and they were like 98% pro-abortion. Their values were so out of sync with the great amount of Americans, and yet. And by the way, it's not that there's just a liberal conspiracy. It's that people get in high places with certain ideas, with certain mindset, and then they hire accordingly, and then people go to work in these certain places. It's a known fact, like with a lot of the sitcoms, there's a disproportionate number of gay writers, and these are things boasted about. Well, that's going to be reflected. So I say that things are disproportionate, that to a certain extent, the media does reflect what's happening in the culture, but then it drives it, it accentuates it, it exaggerates it, and it presents things in certain ways to get a certain mindset across. Look, you can be watching a movie, and the bad guy, whom in the natural would be evil, that you would not want as your next-door neighbor, is the guy you're rooting for, and the police, who you really want to protect you, they become the evil ones. People's minds can be shifted. This stuff is very, very powerful. The images, the music, the storylines, the characters, and it really can put a spell on people. Look, I know there are times in my life when I was so sensitized to violence that if I just saw some, you know, you'd call it low-level silly violence or slapstick kind of thing, it'd be, ooh, it'd be jarring to me. But then I could be exposed to it or around it in a certain level. I don't mean on the job like I'm a policeman and I'm around it and get used to it. But, you know, I could see it here and there or, you know, you watch some exciting movie, maybe flying, and there's some violence in it. And it's, you know, it's not a bad movie. Otherwise, there's no profanity or nudity. But you realize, wow, I just got desensitized. I just got desensitized. It happens to us. The hardening of the heart, the hardening of the mind. We know how dangerous it is to have hardening of the arteries physically. How about the hardening of the heart? How about the dulling of the mind? Here, listen to this. Michael Kinsley, in his article, The Quiet Gay Revolution, Time Magazine, June 14th, 2007. These quotes are in my book, Queer Thing Happened to America. The debate of 14 years ago about gays in the military seems almost quaint. Kids grow up with gay parents of friends, and gay friends of parents. Kids are also exposed constantly to an entertainment culture in which gays are not merely accepted, but in some ways dominant. You rarely see a reality show without a gay cast member, while Rosie O'Donnell is a coveted free agent and Ellen DeGeneres is America's sweetheart. How about this article from Scott Harris, January 12th of 2010? For a while now, kissing has been a popular pastime, but over the last few years, a particular subgenre has emerged as perhaps the hottest gimmick in Hollywood, girl on girl. You think that doesn't influence young ladies, teenagers, kids coming into teenage years who see this and now want to emulate it, model it, or check it out? In a few minutes, I'm going to share some things with you that I think will shock you. When I just say, hey, here's a script from a well-known show, and here is an activist agenda, here's what the agenda says, here's what the script says, Hollywood serving as a tool for various activist voices who have causes that they are standing for, it is nothing less than remarkable. And a whole generation that has drifted from scripture, including many church-going people, a whole generation has been saturated by media and not saturated by the word. Hence, our thinking has become worldly, our thinking has become blurred, our thinking has become polluted. 866-34-TRUTH. Micah in Beaumont, Texas, you're first up today on the line of fire. Micah. Lost Micah there. All right. Michael in Miami, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hey, how you doing, Michael Brown?
Very good, thanks.
I'm new to your program. I do like it, the talk, you know, my topics and such, the world views. I do agree biblically on the point of views of the world, how the media is a great influence upon the youth, especially. I don't have TV personally in my home because the thing with TV is they put whatever they want you to watch. See, nowadays you can't even, I mean, you can pick what you want to watch, and that's how I do it. I watch, you know, my choice of movies. But a great influence on the on TV for the youth is programs such as MTV, VH1. I mean, these media programmers are containing blaspheming God. I've heard it. I mean, I've been at the gym, and I'm watching the show called The Biggest Loser, and they're just cursing God, you know, all these bad words against God, and just because the person didn't lose the weight that they wanted. You know, people are watching this. Oh, I want to be like that person. I want to be like a skinny, and I want to be hot, you know, things like that. But, you know, it has a great influence, especially MTV with the show called Jersey Shore. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Yeah, haven't seen it, of course, but heard about it, you bet.
That show is just, it's just unbelievable. And kids like my sister, which is 12, 13 years old, are watching these things. And they say, oh, well, I don't do what they do. But it's like the Bible says it. The mind of a kid or the mind of a child is like a sponge. It starts absorbing all these things. It's eventually, yeah. You say you don't do it, but you're literally living that lifestyle by the time you're 18, 20 years old. And it happened to me. I used to live in the world. I used to follow all that, the music as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to have an influence. You want to be like those people. Look, first, what is the possible value of watching any of these things? In other words, what edifying value? If someone says I'm a God-fearing person, what edifying value in there is watching people sleep around, watching people have affairs, watching people get drunk, or whatever else in the world there is? We'll be back. We got a break here. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, we're talking about the influence of the media on culture, that it does more than reflect it. It actually drives things. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. By the way, we did something almost crazy with a resource offer early this week. We got a great response to it. I was encouraged by our order department to do it again. So I'm going to make something available to you shortly, and I think it'll be a real blessing and help to you. In fact, I know it will. All right. It's one thing to say, okay, in, say, Saudi Arabia, where the country is a certain way, that you could not have certain media that would work in that setting, right? We understand that. It wouldn't be accepted, it wouldn't be tolerated because of the culture. So there has to be a certain breakdown in the culture. There has to be something wrong in the culture to open the door for the media to then project that further. We understand that. But I say the media drives it. I say the media exaggerates it. I say the media takes the worst parts of it and bombards us with it. Look, how many of us are exposed to violence on a daily basis? How many of us are exposed to, I mean, firsthand, to murder, to rape, to armed robbery, to someone getting beaten up badly? On a daily basis, how many of us, or on a weekly basis, are exposed to it? Almost none of us. Maybe it's your line of duty to be a police officer, or you work in an emergency room in a hospital and you see more of this. Maybe you live in a rough neighborhood and there's, you know, gunfire here and there. But it's very rare that we'd actually be exposed to that. And yet, the media, you can be watching show after show after show, and violence and blood and violence and blood and violence and blood and breaking of the law and smashing of faces and all kinds of atrocities and on and on and on. That's not just reflecting what's happening in the culture. That's taking a certain thing and exaggerating it and throwing it on us. Now, that's one thing. At least you know it's there. At least you know it's happening. What about when you don't even realize that it's happening? What about when the media is getting a certain message out and you don't even recognize it because it's just part of the plot, part of the script? And it's not a matter of, hey, I'm going to turn the phone off here. It's a matter of, or turn the TV off here. It's a matter of you don't even know it's coming your way. So here, there was an episode called Bad Blood on Law & Order SVU. And I've documented this. I've got it laid out in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which, of course, you can order on Amazon.com. And by the way, we're getting some great, great responses from the readers. So I'm thankful for that. So here, this is during the show Bad Blood. This is just stated as a fact between the different characters. Stated as a known fact that 1 in 10 men is gay, which is a complete myth. Even gay activists recognize it's a myth. Some would say it's 2 or 3 in 100. 1 in 10, all right? It's stated as a known fact that homosexuals are wired that way. This is just the characters talking back and forth. Homosexuality is referred to as, quote, a natural sexual orientation. And certainly not something that anyone would willfully choose given the abuse attached to being gay. So the idea of, quote, a natural sexual orientation. The idea that homosexuality can be cured or changed is ridiculed. The prominent moral leader who preaches against homosexuality is labeled a conservative bigot and is portrayed as camp hypocritical for reparative therapy is derogatorily referred to as camp wild bunch. We are told that reparative therapy features practice such as electroshock therapy to the groin. It is alleged that the right-hand man of the conservative leader is gay himself, but he denies it, of course. In the end, we learn that the leader's son, whose murder was being investigated, was gay. I mean, you've got many of the standard PR lines among gay activists. The number, it's 1 in 10, and you can't change, and these conservatives are all hypocrites, and it's on and on and on. Just right there as the characters are talking and interacting and the plot unfolds, and this is having an influence and impact on people, and often they don't even realize it. I've got example after example after example in the book, and I just did a sampling of different major programs from Boston Legal to Law & Order to West Wing, most of the shows I'd never seen myself, or even the series themselves I'd never seen. But as I researched, investigated, of course, I heard the names. I knew they were popular. And then, whoa, script after script after script, we get influence, friends. We don't even know it. And then we wonder sometimes, why is there so much moral stupor? Could it be that we are saturated by media more than we are saturated by the word? Could it be that we're barely sipping at the word, but we're drowning in the flood of media pollution? 866-34-TRUTH. Anthony in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing? I just wanted to make a comment and see if I'm up to date, because I just started listening to you. And what I noticed, like when I was going to school, we had a lot of substitutes and a lot of teachers, and they were kind of young. But nowadays, I see a lot of younger teachers. And a lot of younger teachers, they tend to see what we see on TV. And, you know, I honestly don't watch TV too much. You know, I get home late, get off. I'm on my way to work right now, but I watch CNN. I watch the news a lot. But when I used to go to school, I used to see these teachers, and they see these little kids. You know, I used to be in the PALS program. I see these little kids, and, you know, they would you know, they would clap at if they would see something on TV and the kids would imitate it. You know, they would think cute.
Yeah.
And it's not cute. And, you know, the teachers enforce that. You know, they say, oh, that's, you know, that's wonderful. You're going to be this and you're going to be that. And they're putting all these things in their minds of these kids' heads. And, you know, it's very unhealthy. And, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend earlier, and she was telling me, you know, these schools right now, like in Houston, Texas, and Fort Bend, they're laying off the teachers that have these pensions, right? They're laying off teachers that, of course, are making more than the younger teachers now. But that's what's happening. You know, not to say that all the kids are dumb, but they're hiring dumber people to teach dumb kids.
Yeah, and Anthony, let me just jump in. I don't know, you know, about the specifics of that. Obviously, not living in Houston, and I haven't followed the educational industry that closely. But I was talking to a school teacher right here, lives in Charlotte, from New York originally. She's 29 years old, really loves the kids and works with kids with some learning disabilities and all that. I commend her for what she's doing. But she was telling me that 12-year-olds are coming out. She teaches middle school. 12-year-olds are now coming out as gay and lesbian and announcing it. She said it's kind of become cool, and she found there was nothing wrong with it whatsoever. So that's, and I said, do you think that you have been heavily influenced by the media culture around you? And she said, well, she can't deny it. But hey, Anthony, thanks for calling in. Drive safely, buddy. Friends, in 2009, we did 6 weeks of classes, our School of Cultural Engagement at Fire School of Ministry. I'm a seminary professor at numerous schools. If we charged a fair price for this, we would have charged like $500 for the 6 weeks of classes. Instead, we made them open to the public for free will offerings. But we covered subjects of separation of church and state with a leading attorney, a great thinker on the book of Genesis, Reclaiming Godly Sexuality by one of the nation's experts on this. I taught on It's Time to Rock the Boat, Cultural Apologetics, Engaging the Media and Congress. Great classes. We did 6 weeks. We have them on CD. For $125 for all 6 weeks of classes, four nights each for 6 weeks, you can get all the classes, all 6 weeks, for just $40. I kid you not. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Order the School of Cultural Engagement classes today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so in writing the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I specially researched the influence of gay activism on the media. And what I'm talking about is having a disproportionate number of gay writers, producers, whether they're talented, gifted, that's why they're there, or whether it's just something where they found, hey, here's a niche where we can make an influence, whatever it is, could be a combination of both. The influence of gay script writers, and not just that, but GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, or against defamation, but I say against disagreement, I think for good reason, they actually vet TV scripts, Hollywood movie scripts, to see if they're acceptable. This is well known. There are other activist groups that have done it, put pressure on the media to operate a certain way. But GLAAD does it to this day. So Robert Knight, October 8th, 2008, wrote this. If you're noticing your TV screen turning pink, it's not just your imagination. This is what he said. The new broadcast TV season includes 22 series featuring a total of 35 openly gay characters, according to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. GLAAD, which rides herd over all Hollywood scripts dealing with homosexuality, says the number of series with homosexual characters is a record. These series are on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and the CW networks. The total figure does not include shows on cable like The L Word on Showtime or MTV's All Gay Logo Network. So here's a very limited sampling of prominent shows on the different networks regularly featuring overtly gay characters and or themes. Then ask yourself, how are the gay characters portrayed? You will virtually always see, or the great vast majority of the time, the positive best side only. You won't see the negative downside. You'll see the positive good side only. And when it comes to conservative Christians, Catholic Church has often been under attack in this way, conservative Christians more broadly under attack in this way, you'll almost always see the bad, exaggerated, ugly side and never the good side. It does skew your thinking. And just think. If every Jewish character on TV was greedy and a swindler, if every Jewish character on TV was the arch image of anti-Semitic caricatures, it would affect your mindset. If every black character that appeared on TV was guilty of all kinds of crimes and trying to break in your house, and if every just go through the stereotypes and the negative caricatures, it would influence your thinking, especially if it's weaved in a certain way that you don't even realize it. The media is very powerful. So this is just very limited sampling of prominent shows on the different networks regularly featuring overtly gay characters and their themes. ABC's Grey's Anatomy, this is on ABC, Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, Ugly Betty, Brothers and Sisters. NBC, Law and Order, SVU, ER, The Office. CBS, Survivor China, Two and a Half Men. Fox, House, American Dad, The Simpsons, Bones. FX, Nip Tuck, The Shield, Rescue Me, The CW, Girlfriends. TBS, Friends, Sex in the City, MTV, The Real World, Road Rules, Next, Bravo, Workout, Project One Way, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Lifetime, Television for Women, Gay, Straight or Taken, HBO, Oz, The Wire, 6 Feet Under, and on and on. Showtime, Queer as Folk, The L Word. Here, July 25th, 2009 story, in its third annual Network Responsibility Index, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation found that of HBO's 14 original primetime series, 10 included content reflecting the lives of homosexual, bisexual, and transgender people. That totaled 42% of the network's programming hours. You got that? In series such as True Blood, Entourage, and the number one ladies detective agency. By contrast, on NBC and CBS, only 8% and 5% respectively of primetime hours included them, the report said. So HBO leading the way? I mean, no surprise there, but this is remarkable. They're even, you can go on the GLAAD website and they'll tell you, hey, here's all the gay programming happening on TV this week. It's making an impact, friends. Are we passively taking it in?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. It's one thing to see where things are today. It's one thing to see how wild things are in terms of what the media is putting out day and night and what people are being bombarded with. There's that seductive power still sitting in front of the TV screen or now in front of the computer screen or the tablet screen or whatever it is, and being mesmerized by the images and the sounds and the message. That's shocking enough when you step back and recognize what our kids, family members, friends are getting bombarded with day and night, and then we try to come with a different message. They look at us like we're from another planet. But it's another thing when you find out what happened in the past. Wow. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is the media driving the culture, or is the media merely reflecting the culture? 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for resources relevant to today's show. You say, what was so shocking about the past? I didn't even know this existed. I'd heard about it a little bit, but I didn't know about it in detail until during research for the chapter Hollywood Celebration of Queer and A Queer Thing Happened to America. There was something called the Production Code, or the Hays Code, named after a congressman. And it was on the books in Hollywood from the mid-30s. There was some reaction to the Roaring Twenties and other immorality and other junk coming out of Hollywood. So the mid-30s until the late 1960s, okay? There were three major principles by which Hollywood had to operate. And some of you who are old enough to remember the older movies or growing up watching things on TV, or those who've watched the older movies, will recognize, oh, yeah. So number one, no picture shall be produced that will... what I'm reading to you is true. What I'm reading to you, I'm not making up, okay? This is not some alien invasion where someone has took over my body and is reading bogus information. This was a production code in Hollywood from the mid-30s until the late 60s. Number one, no picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Did you know about that? Number two, correct standards of life subject only to the requirements of drama and entertainment shall be presented. Correct standards of life? That's the only thing that's the only thing you're allowed? Yeah. Number three, law, natural or human, shall not be ridiculed, nor shall sympathy be created for its violation. And then here's how it broke down. Nakedness and suggestive dances were prohibited. The ridicule of I'm not making this up. The ridicule of religion was forbidden, and ministers of religion were not to be represented as comic characters or villains. The depiction of illegal drug use was forbidden, as well as the use of liquor when not required by the plot or for proper characterization. Methods of crime, for example, safe-cracking, arson, smuggling, were not to be explicitly presented. References to alleged sex perversions, such as homosexuality and venereal disease, were forbidden, as were depictions of childbirth. The only thing that, when you go through this, that was obviously wrong was portrayals of miscegenation. I always mispronounce that. Black, white, romantic, or sexual relations were forbidden. So that reflected the bigotry and the segregated views of the time. But everything else you read here, the flag of the United States was to be treated respectfully. Scenes of passion were not to be introduced when not essential to the plot. Excessive and lustful kissing was to be avoided, along with any other treatment that might stimulate the lower and baser element. I mean, you've got now in some contemporary movies, within the first minute, they have violated every single one of those standards. But this is what Hollywood had to operate under for decades. It's unreal. It is unreal to see what happened. And when you look back, when the shift starts to come in the 60s, you'll see a movie like My Fair Lady is competing with some other movie, you know, which is starting to introduce vulgarity or starting to introduce extreme sex scenes or extreme violence. And you think, wow, you can see that shift in the culture that was taking place in the 60s, the counterculture revolution, the sexual revolution, everything that came out of that. We're living in that today, friends, but it's been a whole generation that's been saturated. And it gets more and more overt and more bold. If you want documented examples, undeniable documented examples, page after page after page, in fact, probably shows you may have even watched and not even realized that... I can't believe I was being influenced to think a certain way. There was propaganda being fed to me through the media, just as the strategists laid out in the late 80s. Propaganda fed to me through the media, trying to influence my thinking. Amazing. Laid out point for point, line for line. I mean, I quote scripts at length, and A Queer Thing Happened to America. Make sure you have the book. You'll find it to be essential reading. Amazon.com is the place to order it. We still have some challenges with getting reviews up there properly, but we're making some progress there. By the way, if you just tuned in, tomorrow night I'm scheduled to do a debate, same-sex marriage, should it be legal, on the campus of University of Central Florida. Tens of thousands of students there on the campus, from what I understand. It's almost like all hell has broken loose around this debate. I mean, there has to be police protection and everything. God willing, I'll tell you the whole story on Monday. I won't be able to do it on Friday, but tell you the whole story on Monday. But in the meantime, pray, because things have shifted so much in our culture that it is considered potentially disruptive and volatile to go on a college campus and have two professors, academics, who are going to engage us in a civil way to have a discussion should same-sex marriage be legal, and their concerns about riots and protests? Are you kidding me? No surprise, though. No surprise. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We have regained Micah from Beaumont, Texas. We lost you earlier, buddy. Welcome back.
Hey, yeah, I didn't realize, and I heard my name and thought, here I am, but I'm at work. So I'm working with my dad, who's a Christian. That's an awesome blessing. And I just want to agree with you out loud and on purpose, because I believe Christians should, you know, motivate each other to stand up against these things. You're absolutely right. The media is influencing the masses. And, you know, I see that in the past, history repeats itself. You look at what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah for their sinfulness, and they were completely destroyed. And people say that God is love. Well, God is holy first. And that holiness is a complete separation from sin, and we should be sanctified in the same way, because he's asked us to be holy as he is holy. You look at the Roman civilization and their wide acceptance of violence and their wide acceptance of homosexuality came just before the end of their civilization, and I fear for America today, because we are right there at the door. And so, you know, I just want to agree with you and say, you know, Christians need to stand up, take a stand, and don't back down. And when people say, you know, oh, this is okay, and you should accept this, and blah, blah, that's not right, and we should not, and we should stand on the Word of God and let that be our foundation, and not be fearful of anyone in the world, but fearful of him, because he is someone to be feared.
Yeah, and you know, Micah, the love of God is completely compatible with the judgment of God. The love of God is completely compatible with the holiness of God. They are all part of the same good God, and his
Absolutely.
Perfect love requires perfect justice to be meted out at times. And look, we have no one to blame. It's one thing if the world puts out worldly things. It's another thing if the church is influenced by the world. That's our responsibility. I can't myself change Hollywood, nor do I expect sinners to do righteous things. If God calls me into Hollywood or calls someone in there, fine, then you can have your influence, or in a counter media way, you can have your influence. But we are responsible, each individual and families, for what we take in, what we feed on. And can you imagine, Micah, the kind of spiritual and cultural revolution that would take place if we spent, as believers, more time in the Word and prayer every day than we spent watching TV or unnecessarily surfing the net or with these other distractions, or, you know, watching movies? Can you imagine? I mean, America would be shaken. But thanks for calling in, man.
It would be a wildfire. Yes, sir.
It would be holy, holy wildfire. Yes, sir. Thanks, Micah. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Susan in Fort Lauderdale, hold on. I want to get you right at the beginning of the next segment, because we're going to be short on time here. Let me say this again. This is not some right-wing fundamentalist screaming and yelling about how evil Hollywood is. This is someone sounding an alarm, whether I'm right-wing, left-wing, fundamentalist, or whatever. You put whatever term you want on me. That's your business. But this is someone who loves and fears the Lord sounding an alarm to say, number one, we are getting influenced in ways that we don't even realize. There are images, there are plots, there are messages that are being fed to us and poured into us day in, day out, that we didn't even realize. And then, worse still, we know there's junk. We know there's bad stuff. We get addicted to the shows, the characters. We have to take it in. And we get so polluted. Come on, how are we going to change the world? How are we going to go out and shine light in dark places when our own thinking is so muddled, so polluted? What would happen if we just did a media fast for a while and meditated on the Word and prayed? Can you imagine what happened to our own lives? Talk about a revolution. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My simple premise in the show today has been that not only does media reflect culture to a certain extent, but media drives and influences culture in very negative ways, and often sending subtle messages that are according to the script of activist organizations to get their message across. You don't even realize you're getting brainwashed, influenced as you sit there passively drinking this trash in. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I document this in terms of gay activism, one of the most eye-opening chapters you'll ever read in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So if you don't have that yet, by all means, go to Amazon.com, order a copy. I was talking to one of my sons-in-law a couple years ago, and some new Britney Spears video came out. I don't know if it was played on MTV or VH1 or whoever plays these things now, or both and more. And I was told it was a really lewd video. And anyway, one of my sons-in-law was telling me about a relative of his, and they've got a kid that was like 5 years old, little girl, and he said she knows every move in that video. She doesn't even understand what they mean because they're sexual moves, but she mimics that. 5 years old. And certainly MTV is knowing they've got a ton of kids, 11, 12 years old, watching that stuff. I started using drugs in the late 60s because of the influence of rock music and the rock stars in my life. I know the power of this. I understand the power of this. Susan in Fort Lauderdale, you've got the perspective, I understand, of a college teacher.
Yes, I do. It's like a breath of fresh air to hear your show, because I was just coming home today feeling frustrated because I see the fruition of everything you're saying. For years with my own kids, I felt under bombardment from the media to the movies, to the everything, television, that the views, and it reminds me of that Bible verse, the good will become bad and the bad will become good. And so many times I would think, they make the good look bad and the bad look good. It's so true. And yeah. Then now, as a college teacher, I see all the views that have been out there for so long in my students, and I feel so sad. And so many times, I just read a paper today, and they were talking about Mother Earth, and I thought, and I feel like I'm held back from actually saying what I really want to say, that I feel like I can't openly talk about God and faith because I'm in a public college, and I feel like I'm stifled from that. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions.
Sure. Do you mind me asking what classes you teach?
I teach math classes, an algebra class, so I don't really get a chance to like show a movie or anything. But in earth science and oceanography, I actually have two movies I show. We get to the animals in the ocean and talk about the ocean. I show two movies.
What types of things are you seeing with the media's influence on students? You mentioned the Mother Earth thing, but what are the types of things from comments, from anecdotes, where you can see?
They watch all those shows you're talking about, New Jersey Shore. I hear them talking about the shows, just the way their views that about politics, their views about religion not really being part of politics. They're openly accepting and think you're the bad guy if you think negative about gay marriage or gay rights, or they think that's a kind way of being. Everything the media promotes is in their attitudes. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them, that it's just obvious that they've been fed that for years and years, and that they've fallen for all of it. And even watching President Obama go to community colleges and say things, and they're just gullible. They believe if somebody comes there and says that this is true and this is how you should be and it's not kind, they fall for all the sad, how mean it is if you don't believe in gay marriage.
Yeah. Again, as I'm getting ready to do a debate tomorrow night at University of Central Florida in Orlando, I won't get into all the details now. God willing, on Monday I'll get to tell the whole story. but it has created an uproar felt through the highest levels of the campus and numerous attempts from numerous angles to shut it down from happening. And others thankfully say, no, this is a campus. Well, of course we're going to have an intellectual exchange of ideas between two professors. But the idea you can't even discuss it. That, I mean, it's utterly outrageous, and parents need to understand that the environment on many, many campuses is one of extreme intolerance and extreme bigotry towards any expression of what would be considered conservative family values or biblical values. So just a few thoughts for you, Susan. There are plenty of teachers that are teaching students that are math teachers, English teachers, and yet they are really trying to destroy the faith of their students. I don't know how much you run into it, but it's very common for many, many years that whatever the class is, they'll find some way to bring in some atheistic philosophy or Bible bashing comment, whatever, and they're kind of cool in doing it. So I'd encourage you to see if there are places where you can bring in other sides to the story or talk about a great scientist or a great mathematician. So, you know, this view that Christianity or religion is anti-science, actually the one who founded this field or the one who introduced this, you know, these are all committed Christians. Just some trivia for you that you might not hear. If you can kind of plant seeds, not as the traditionalist, but as the one going against the grain and the culture, and then even sit down with a supervisor and say, what exactly are your free speech parameters? You just want to understand that. And then really pray for opportunities to get in relationships, especially some of the ladies. There got to be a lot of hurting people, questioning people, breakups in relationships. Someone finds out they've got a sexually transmitted disease, the standard questions about life. To just say, hey, I'm real happy if any of you ever have some problems, issues, you just need, you know, a mom or dad kind of figure around to chat with. I'm happy to do so. If you're allowed to do that or have some way where you can get in kind of some mentoring type of relationship with a student, that'd be awesome. Hey, Susan, I've got to run, but let's stay in touch. Let's stay in touch, and may God use you as a shining light where you are. Thanks for calling in.
All right, I'll pray for you tomorrow night.
Thank you so much. All right. Look, you know, I have no concern whatsoever that in the coming years that you'll know everything I'm telling you today is true and the warnings that I'm sounding are real. But we got to get it now because we are here as God's moral conscience in the society, not the policeman, not the self-righteous police force, but the conscience, the light, the salt in the society making a difference. Remember, you can get all 6 weeks of our School of Cultural Engagement, all 6 weeks. That's 6 weeks, four nights a week, some of the finest teachers in the nation gathered. It's only $125 on CD, which is a steal. You can get it for $40 for all 6 weeks, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, let us renew our minds with the Word of God. Let us clean our minds, our hearts out. Let's get rid of the pollution. Let's get rid of the defilement. Let's get rid of the brainwashing of the culture. Let's renew our minds according to the Word and think God's thoughts and speak His words here in this world. Does the media simply reflect what's happening in the culture, or does the media heavily influence what's happening in the culture? And are there messages coming your way through the media changing your thinking and you don't even know it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am not putting the blame in terms of moral decline, steady moral decline, moral confusion in America, putting the blame solely at the feet of the media. And we are to blame if we take in, drink in, saturate ourselves, drench ourselves in the pollution that comes through so much of the media. But I am saying that not only does the media reflect the culture, but to a great extent, the media heavily influences the culture in many destructive and negative ways, and the most dangerous is when it sends subtle messages that we don't even get, yet they influence our thinking. Do you agree with me? Do you think I'm overstating it? Do you think that I'm just some paranoid religious fanatic? Or could it be that I'm speaking the truth today as we seek to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution? And that means we've got to talk about the media. Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to get in the program, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, our Facebook page, where there's a lively conversation about this very subject right now. Does the media reflect the culture? Does the media influence the culture? Right now on Facebook, that's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. So when I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, which I've talked about a lot in the last 5 weeks, is that's when the book came out after 6 years of work. When I focused on the media in one chapter, chapter five, which is called Brokeback Mountain, the Fab Five and Hollywood Celebration of Queer, I focused on gay activist agenda, gay activist scripts, mindset, talking points being conveyed through the media. It's one thing if you know, okay, this show has a lot of gratuitous violence. This show has a lot of profanity. This show has nudity and sex. Therefore, as a believer, I won't touch those things. I won't watch them. And if I stumble upon it, boy, that was wrong. I repent, Lord. I won't go back to watching that pollution. It's another thing when there are messages that are being sent to us through the media and we don't even recognize it. There are messages being sent to us through the media and they're so subtle that we don't even get it. Now, I want to read this again. I've read it many times before, but two well-known gay activists, social scientists, Harvard-trained, marketing backgrounds, they wrote a famous book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. Now, the gay activists will say, we never heard of that book. No one ever used that book. It's only the conservatives who look at it and blame all this on the gays. Well, whether the book was influential, I know it was a national bestseller, so somebody was reading it, and I have many quotes from the gay community about its influence back then when it came out. But be that as it may, without question, it reflected a strategy. It reflected a strategy that was common in gay activist circles that has really been carried out. So this is what they called for in the late 80s. All right, how America will conquer its fear and hatred of gays in the 90s. Their goal was, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Has that happened or not? I don't know if you realize the degree that we have been brainwashed in our culture to see things in a certain way. I've often quoted film critic Michael Medved, radio host, who said, a Martian gathering evidence about American society simply by monitoring our television would certainly assume that there were more gay people in America than there are evangelical Christians. I've taken that further. They would assume that every gay person in America is nice, friendly, creative, hardworking, moral, and that every evangelical Christian is bigoted, greedy, hypocritical, and worse. Oh, the media has its influence. I'm going to share some shocking things with you this hour and an amazing update about tomorrow night's debate at the University of Central Florida.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, revolution starts right with us. One thing to point a finger out there, how bad they are, how bad it is, how evil and wicked the world is. Well, what about me? What about you? What about my life? What about your life? What about the media that we take in? I know that in the midst of the pressure of a very intensely busy schedule, for me, it's easy to waste time online. I don't mean watching foul things, but wasting time. I can easily do it. It's okay, I just need a break. And, you know, just read the latest technology review on computer, catch up on a sports thing, or read more news than I need to read. And it's just, okay, I'm just chilling for a little while. But it can really be a time waster, and it could certainly be longer than I planned it to be. And then I could have been reading something constructive. I could have been doing many other things that were more constructive. I don't mean living in some religious, oh, you're wasting a second. No, I mean, we could waste hours in the midst of a busy schedule with mindless stuff. But worse still is when we're wasting hours and being polluted. Well, I mean, think of that. It's a rough enough battle just doing the will of God in the midst of a sinful world and really walking with the Lord and really seeking to make a difference. It's enough of a battle doing that, but then we're putting like 100-pound weights on our shoulders and drinking poison at the same time and thinking we're going to be effective. How about the revolution starts with you and me? I mean, look, I know I'm speaking to a lot of different people and a lot of different situations of life and a lot of different backgrounds, so I don't expect this to apply universally to every single individual. However, this much I do expect. There are at least some of you listening that are going to act on what I'm saying, and it'll be revolutionary in your own life, and perhaps it'll start spreading to others and others and others and others. What do I mean? What if we said, I'm not going to take in trash? I mean, the Bible does say that I should renew my mind according to the word. I'm not going to take in trash. I'm not going to be polluted by junk. I'm not going to drench myself with it. I'm not going to let my eyes see anything unacceptable. If this is darkness, I'm not going to touch it or go near it. And I'm going to spend more time praying, reading the word, meditating on the word, doing good to those in need, spending quality time with family, doing outreach, whatever it is. Do you know how your life would be radically changed? And do you know how if you started to go back to the old trash, you'd be like, yeah, I don't want to touch it. We're talking about the influence of the media today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's one thing to know the pollution, the junk that's out there, and to say, okay, I'm going to avoid it. It's another thing to take it in and you hardly even realize. Yale Kramer, writing the American Spectator, said this: Hollywood always rewards young actors for taking risks in the service of homosexual values. Jared Barrios, 1 year plus ago, January of 2010, he's the president of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, defamation technically, but I prefer my definition of it. He said it's not enough to be Will and Grace anymore. The benchmark is higher. You have a whole generation watching Will and Grace. There was an interview I saw about people serving openly homosexual in the military, and one guy said, we don't care. Now, of course, many others say they do care, but he said, we don't care. This is the Will and Grace generation. In other words, it's not just a matter of being influenced by facts and reliable information. It's being influenced by images. It's being influenced by scripts and the way they're written. And look, we relate to certain people. You've got the heroes and the villains. Who's painted in the good light? Who's painted in the bad light? Who gets our sympathies? Who is the one we want to emulate? Who's the one we don't want to be like? VH1 offers this provocative description of women seeking women, a bi-curious journey. I detail it in the book here, but you've got family people. Oh, they're curious, and here's a married woman, but she's really curious, and she wants to know what it's like to be with another woman, and here's the whole documentary about it, and now she and her husband, Mike, are traveling to hedonism, where she plans to have her first same-sex encounter with another vacationer in the group. Will it spice up her 15-year marriage or lead to its downfall? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's just on TV. And hey, you know, I wrote in A Queer Thing Happened to America, I wonder how Tammy's kids enjoyed watching their mom have a sexual encounter with another woman, a stranger at that, with their dad's explicit encouragement. Come to think of it, I wonder how they felt about potentially millions of people watching it. It was a day not too long ago when someone stating that perversity like this would have been aired on major cable TV networks would have been deemed out of his or her mind. Today, we're told it's just another slice of, quote, mainstream USA. A little while, I'm going to talk about the moral code that used to exist in Hollywood, give you some examples of some scripts where activist agenda is put right into those very scripts. Trust me, it'll be eye-opening. Before I go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, keep praying for the debate at the University of Central Florida tomorrow night. I am not one of these guys that blows everything up. You know, make a tempest out of a teapot or teaster, whatever the saying is, you know, and the sky's always falling and it's always Armageddon crisis. Now, I expect controversy when my book comes out, controversy having a debate on a college campus, but the subject Same-sex marriage, should it be legal? Two professors discussing it. You tell me that that shouldn't be held on every campus in America today, and that wouldn't make a good subject, a worthy subject? Tempest in a teapot. Thank you. This is what reliable people do in the studio and prop up a host struggling for words, for an idiom. Tempest in a teapot. Thank you, guys, for rescuing me there. You have no idea. I'll tell you, God willing, on Monday, the whole story. You have no idea the upheaval. I'm talking about an uproar felt through many of the departments in the university in attempts to cancel it. There's going to have to be a police presence because two professors are going to discuss same-sex marriage, should it be legal. Can you believe this? And last hour, we got a call from a college professor in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and she was saying how it's so frustrating to her to see the incredible influence of the media on the younger generation. They just drink this in. And then when you try to just talk in a civil way and say, well, there's another side to the story, you're looked at as bigoted and intolerant. I've never seen such bigotry and intolerance as I've seen among those who claim to be the tolerant ones. And a lot of it is due to media influence, where you have a disproportionate number of pro-abortion people, a disproportionate number of religion-bashing people, a disproportionate number of gay-slanted or gay activist people, a disproportionate number in the media, thus making an impact for the worse, not for the better. They may be gifted, talented, but the impact is destructive. All right, Jonathan in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I was actually calling and wanted to weigh in on the whole aspect of the media that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
Well, like I'm actually a gospel rapper now, and I rapped for the industry for about 13 years. And you know, within myself spiritually, you know, before I even came to Christ, you know, I started recognizing that, you know, there was not just moral battles going on within myself, but just things didn't sit well. And, you know, I finally, you know, I got saved and, you know, upon getting saved, started reading, you know, deeper and growing deeper in the Word and spiritually also. And I came across, Craig G. Lewis, ex-ministry, and he was actually talking about how there's spirit. There's actually, you know, there's an enemy, you know what I mean? Of course, we know that he's actually using this medium and along with other mediums, you know, music, movies, et cetera, mm-hmm. to put like different prayers and stuff like that. And sometimes when people are listening to it, they don't even realize that they're receiving this stuff subliminally in their conscious and subconscious into their souls themselves.
Yeah,
it was actually an album.
Yeah, Jonathan, let me just ask you this: as someone that uses hip hop as a gospel medium, do those words really penetrate in people's minds? Do they kind of have them that the words being repeated? Oh, if they listen to them enough, just repeat it over and over in their heads, kind of like this, you know, boom, boom. That does it really stick in there?
Absolutely. I mean, you can look at the generation nowadays. You know, I look at my son. I also have a 10-year-old son, and you know, he has a lot of friends, and, you know, I try to filter out, you know, most of the stuff that I can, but, you know, of course we can't, but I see it all the time, you know, and it's like in the culture, the younger generation's embracing it. You know, they want to, you know, go with the new things that they're talking about on the radio, the new clothing, you know what I mean? The whole lingo, everything. And I mean, I even found in myself sometimes, you know, out of nowhere, I'll hear something on the radio maybe once or twice and go to flip the channel. Then later on that day, I'll be singing that same song, not even realize.
Yeah, it gets in there. You know, I played drums, rock drumming before I was saved and enjoy playing when I can since then. And I'm going to have to talk fast. I got a break coming up. But thanks for weighing in, Jonathan. And, you know, I'd be sitting having lunch with the kids and there'd be some worldly song playing and they'd notice my fingers tapping. I wasn't even conscious. And they said, Dad, you're just tapping to the beat. You don't hear the words. I said, it's true. But, you know, that beat and for some, the words, it gets in there. We come back. I'm going to talk about West Wing. Gay activist conspiracy on West Wing. Could it be?
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just sent this quote from Keith Green about the influence of the media that one of his, well, all of his songs I think were great, but one of them by the devil himself, "No one believes in me anymore. Oh, my job keeps getting easier as day slips into day. The magazines, the newspapers print every word I say. This world is just my spinning top. It's all like child's play." And I think also of his song, "You Love the World. You love the world. You've been avoiding me. My word sits there upon your desk, but you love your books and magazines the best." And yeah, we can do that. It's not the media's fault if we're influenced by it. It's the media's fault if they produce trash or misleading material or things that appeal to the most vulgar base senses in human beings. Along with the good that they put out. It's our fault if we're influenced by it, polluted by it. It's more dangerous when we're influenced and we don't even realize it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Talking about the influence of media on our kids, on our families, on our culture, on our own minds. You can weigh in online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. We've got resources relevant to today's show if you click on today's broadcast on The Line of Fire. Okay, let me give an explicit example. I document this, lay out the script in A Queer Thing Happened to America, Chapter 5. That's the media chapter. I believe this chapter alone is worth the price of the entire book, but you get 15 such chapters. I know I'm partial. I worked on it, but from the responses we're getting from people, trust me. So this is the chapter, Hollywood Celebration of Queer. And here's the deal now, all right? This episode I'm going to quote to you from was on West Wing, so it was the presidential TV show. I never saw any of the episodes, but you can get this online, get the transcript and all of that. October 18th, 2000 is when this took place, all right? October 18th, 2000. Now, it's the president, Josiah Bartlett, who's having a dialogue with someone named Dr. Jacobs, who is basically a Dr. Laura figure in this, all right? Now, there's no question, you'll see in a moment. Now, at the very same time, coincidentally, at the very same time, from March 2000 to March 2001, there was a Stop Dr. Laura campaign to try to stop her new TV show from airing. Ultimately, it cost her something like $33 million in advertising. So the StopDrLaura.com website boasted the year-long campaign against Dr. Laura, coordinated via this website and all done on an $18,000 budget, most of it raised from the online sale of T-shirts, so exposed Dr. Laura's anti-gay rhetoric to the world that she could not even sneeze without the major national media and thousands of individual activists like yourselves watching, recording her every word, and pouncing when action was needed. As a result of the 50-plus million hits this pro bono site received in just 10 months and the 300,000 visitors per month that we continue to get throughout the campaign, protests were organized in 34 cities across the country and Canada. Over 170 advertisers dropped Dr. Laura's TV show, including some 70 or so advertisers that Canadian activists got to drop her in that country alone. And over 30 advertisers dropped her radio show, reportedly costing over $30 million in advertising. All right, so at the very moment that this is taking place, the Stop Dr. Laura campaign is taking place, there is a show on West Wing where Dr. Jenna Jacobs, okay, who is a Laura Schlesinger figure here, a Dr. Laura figure, she gets ridiculed by the president. Now, how do I know it's a Dr. Laura figure? Well, there was a widely circulated letter. It's from an anonymous author, later identified as J. Kent Ashcraft. He wrote this letter to Dr. Laura asking for her help in sorting out some biblical issues of interpretation. "Dear Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I've learned a great deal from you, and I try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend homosexuality, for example, I will simply remind him or her that Leviticus 18:22 clearly states it to be an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some of the other laws in Leviticus and Exodus and how to best follow them. One, when I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord. Leviticus 1:9, pleasing odor. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. How should I deal with this? Two, I would like to sell my daughter into slavery, as stated in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? Three, I know that I am allowed no contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanness, Leviticus 15. The problem is, how can I tell? I try to ask him, but most women take offense." And he goes on with this letter, okay? well known, widely circulated, and easily answered for those that know the word, but for many others, how do I answer that? And gay activists use it to this day. It's come up in debates, discussions I've had many, many a time. Okay, so what's the significance here? This is the dialogue on West Wing. President Bartlet, forgive me, Dr. Jacobs, are you an MD? Because she doesn't stand up when everyone else stands up. Jacobs, a PhD. Bartlet, a PhD. Yes, sir. Psychology? No, sir. Theology? No. Social work? No. I have a PhD in English literature. I'm asking because on your show, people call in for advice. So this is Dr. Laura. And you go by the name of Dr. Jacobs on your show, and I didn't know if maybe your listeners were confused by that and assumed you had advanced training in psychology, theology, or healthcare. I don't believe they're confused. No, sir. Good. I like your show. I like how you call homosexuality an abomination. I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does. Yes, it does. Leviticus 18:22, chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. She's a Georgetown sophomore, speaks fluent Italian, always cleared the table when it was her turn. What would a good price be for her? Well, thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Here's one that's really important because we've got a lot of sports fans in this town. Touching the skin of a dead pig makes one unclean. Leviticus 11:7. If they promise to wear gloves, can the Washington Redskins still play football? Can Notre Dame? Can West Point? Does the whole town have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? Can I burn my mother in a small family gathering for wearing garments made from two different threads? Think about those questions, would you? And, of course, some of those very questions are the ones in that letter. I read the beginning of that letter to you. So here's what's happening now, okay? This is not an overt thing like someone taking their clothes off on television. No, I can't watch that. Or some profanity. Oh, I can't listen to that. Or some openly satanic anti-God thing. This is something weaved into a plot to make a mockery of Dr. Laura using the gay activist talking points of the day during the Stop Dr. Laura campaign. You tell me that all just happened by coincidence? You tell me there are not a lot of people thinking a lot of the same things, thinking this, what a great thing to put into a script right here? It doesn't mean there's collusion between the parties. It means they're thinking the same direction with the same goals. And people drink that in and don't even realize that they are having not only the Bible mocked, but Dr. Laura mocked through this other figure. And, of course, she has no answer. She's a self-righteous person who has no answer. Friends, the media has done an extraordinary job of brainwashing a generation. The thing for which we have no excuse is the degree to which we drink it in. The degree to which you and I, who are called to be God's people and renew our minds and think pure and holy and godly thoughts, the degree to which we willfully pollute ourselves. Let's take hold of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles body and spirit. Let's be cleansed, washed afresh, so that we could live godly lives that make a difference. Come on, get the trash out, get the good stuff in. It'll make a difference in your own life. A lot more to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing on the media's influence on culture. Does the media just reflect culture? Does it drive it? I say it reflects it in part, but then drives it, influences it, because many of the mover shapers in the media do not hold to biblical values, conservative values, family values, and therefore what they're going to put out, what they're going to produce out of the abundance of their own hearts and minds and lives is going to be polluting. Oh, but it goes beyond that. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Again, encouraging you to be praying for us. The debate tomorrow night at University of Central Florida with Professor Eric Small, a professor of philosophy, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? Of course, pray that truth and light will come through it. I believe it'll be a good presentation on both sides, and that it'll be articulate on both sides. And by God's grace, I want to be a witness to the truth and to what's right and best for society. I know Dr. Small takes this seriously, but the upheaval on the campus, the fact that there's going to need to be a serious police presence and so on and so forth because of potential uproar, and it is unreal, friends, how volatile this is. And by God's grace, this is what we are called to do. This is what we're called to stand for. This is part of what this radio show is about. I am absolutely serious about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution coming through the gospel. That means we are living different lives and live those lives out differently before the culture. Okay, so check this out. Check this out. There used to be something called the Hays Code, or the production code in Hollywood from the mid-30s until the late 60s. As Hollywood started to emerge, it started to emerge more raunchily than many people would have liked. Raunchily, I guess, coined a word there. In a more raunchy, degraded way than many people would have liked. For various reasons, there was a backlash, and the Hays Code, named after a congressman or a production code, was put in place. Mid-30s to the late 60s, and then you can start to see the shift. Look at Academy Award-winning movies from the early 60s to the early 70s, and you'll see the shift in front of your eyes. Some of you remember it because you were there, but maybe growing up you didn't catch a lot of what was happening. I certainly didn't as a kid. But here are the three major principles by which Hollywood used to operate. I'm not making this up. You can read them in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter on the media, which is a very eye-opening chapter. Really, every chapter is, but this one in particular is each one is in particular. Okay, I'm partial. Right, we know that. Number one, no picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. May I repeat this? This was a Hollywood code. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. That wipes out like 90% of movies. I mean, isn't this wild? Number two, correct standards of life, subject only to the requirements of drama and entertainment, shall be presented. Number three, law, natural or human, shall not be ridiculed, nor shall sympathy be created for its violation. I mean, this is really extraordinary. 50 years ago, there was no Will and Grace or Ellen, no Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, no Philadelphia or The Hours, no annual lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender film festival. In fact, Hollywood films were prohibited from including lesbian or gay characters, discussing gay themes, or even inferring the existence of homosexuality. You may say, well, I mean, it's in the culture. It should have been reflected. Oh, okay. How about what was then compared to what is now? Quoted the late Elizabeth Taylor, but, you know, these words of hers are well known in the Hollywood scene. If it weren't for gays, honey, there wouldn't be a Hollywood. Yeah. Yale Kramer, writing in the American Spectator, said this: Hollywood always rewards young actors for taking risks in the service of homosexual values, and on and on. Popular pastime now or a big trend in the movies these days, girl-on-girl kissing. From the Hays Code to that? Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me ask you a question. Nothing conspiratorial here. Let me just ask you a question. If you had 80% of scriptwriters in Hollywood were committed, Bible-believing followers of Jesus, do you think the scripts would be different than they are? If you had 80% were aggressive atheists, if you had 80% were Muslim, we just go down the list. If you had 80% were gay allied or gay themselves. So it doesn't mean you've got this conspiracy where you've got like the head of an organization, the head conspirator who is making sure only certain things are going out on TV or in the movies. It means that you have a lot of people of influence who think certain ways. Remember, the world loves its own. Jesus told us that would happen. And a lot of what's coming through the media, when you talk about the values of these people, they share certain sets of values. They project them. That's what human beings do. They see the world a certain way. They may think they're being fair. We look at it as being totally biased. And it's not, friends, let me say this again, it's not just the overt messages that we know are wrong, that we shouldn't watch, we shouldn't be polluted by, but it's often the more subtle messages. It's often the more, the things that we don't even realize are coming our way and we're being brainwashed. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. According to gay historian David Eisenbach, the more positive presentations of homosexuals are also the achievements of organizations like the Gay Activist Alliance and the National Gay Task Force, which monitored portrayals of homosexuals in the media. TV executives discovered they could avoid zaps, which were these strategically timed, carefully staged gay hit-and-run protests widely used in the 70s. They could avoid zaps and bad publicity by having gay activists review scripts that dealt with homosexuality before they were aired. Gay activists, Eisenbach says, in the 60s and 70s understood that only after the public saw that homosexuals were not threats to society could gay rights make any political and legal progress. By manipulating the media and forcing, this is a gay historian writing, by manipulating the media and forcing more sympathetic characterizations of homosexuals on television shows, the gay rights movement offered powerful challenges to common stereotypes. Yeah, there were often stereotypes that were not truthful. There are often negative depictions of gays and lesbians that were not truthful, but there has been a clear manipulating of the media, and GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, defamation, they vet scripts today. Those scripts have to pass their muster. Okay, this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. This is not a mystery. This happens and is widely known, and we often are just sitting back, drinking it in, taking it in. Do you know... I don't want to lay a heavy trip on anybody here, but do you really know what your kids watch? I'm talking to parents now. Do you know what your kids watch? Are you sure you know? The videos, the things online, I mean, obviously they just get something on their phone now and watch it. The TV shows, we give our kids liberty. Okay, is it responsible liberty? Do they have the tools, the wherewithal, the knowledge to make the right decisions? And how right is it for little children to be watching any of this stuff or making these kinds of decisions? Our daughters are thankful today. They're 33 and 32. They're thankful today that they were raised in a home with certain strictness. By God's grace, we sought to live these things out in a life-giving, holistic way. But they're glad that they were not subjected to certain pollution that could have been there. They know the negative influence it could have been, especially one of our daughters struggled more in her teen years with the morality that she was being told to live by and that we were seeking to exemplify before her. And she'd be the first to tell you, without those walls and parameters, it would have been a lot worse for her. 866-34-TRUTH. Dale in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, once again. Excellent show. I love what you're doing. May God continue to bless you. Listen, I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Democrat. But I've been described, politically speaking, as being very liberal. But let me say this. I love the Lord, and I believe that the decisions that I make, I think the decisions everyone makes, but certainly the ones that I do, they're biblically based. I pray about them. I seek God's face. I read the Word. And I don't think, I heard you say something just a moment ago about, in the same sentence, you mentioned biblical with conservative. I don't believe Rush Limbaugh is a Christian. I know that Glenn Beck is not a Christian. And I don't think that conservatism and Christianity are necessarily synonymous.
All right.
Can I say, Dale, one last thing?
Yeah, please.
The bumper music you play coming into the show, I love that song, man. It stirs my soul. I like the one going, you know, when you go into a break, but the music coming into the show, it really stirs me. And once again, I appreciate your show. I'm going to get off the air, so
me and my friend can listen to you.
All right. Bless you. Thank you, Dale,
God
for the call.
You too.
Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, I'm so glad you called for clarification on that. First, that song, the opening song, is called Shake the Nations. It's written by Aaron Kreider, C-R-I-D-E-R. Get into his music. Get it on iTunes and other places. Aaron and his wife Holly served at Fire for 9 years. He graduated from our ministry school and then was our worship leader and wrote many wonderful songs. Our missions director, Josh Peters, said to him before one of our missions conferences, we have an annual missions conference because we have a couple hundred workers we've sent out around the world, our grads that are serving all around the world with Fire International. In fact, as you sow into this broadcast, as you stand with us as a monthly supporter, you help us with our missionaries around the world because this show helps fuel the larger fires of what we do. So Josh said to him, Dr. Peter said to him, I want you to write a song for the missions conference. And he wrote this great song, Shake the Nations, which is a call for a real Jesus revolution. So it is a wonderful, stirring song. So Dale, the thing I wanted to make clear, when I use conservative, I don't mean it in a political way. I don't identify with either party. I voted more Republican than Democrat over moral issues in recent elections, but I don't identify personally with either party. And for me, I'm talking about me. I'm not judging anyone else. For me, it's a compromise to identify with a party because there's no party that fully has God's heart or is fully living out according to his ways. Although I've voted much more Republican than Democrat for some time now over moral issues, moral social issues. That being the case, when I say conservative, I don't mean it in the sense of Rush Limbaugh being a conservative, which would be an economic conservative and some moral conservatism, but certainly there are a lot of things on a Rush Limbaugh show that, you know, sexual innuendos and other things like that are not appropriate, that are certainly not in keeping with biblical morality, nor does he put himself forward as an example of biblical morality. When I say conservative, I mean what we associate with biblical moral values. So conservative moral values would be, to me, biblically based moral values. And I would imagine, Dale, that we probably agree on the great majority of what those values are. So I do not tie this in with conservatism as a whole, to be clear, all right? Not conservatism as a whole, but what we would say conservative moral values, meaning biblically based family values. That was my point. But thanks for clarifying, because I'm sure others had that same question in their minds as well. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Mr. Brown. Thank you. Okay. Let me talk about sex as it is written in the Bible and in the world. There are, two kinds of people in the earth. Those are heterosexual, sexual people, and there is a eunuch person. And that eunuch person is a person who does not desire sex. The teaching is not the teaching is not in the church, and it's not in the world. And so your child, how are you going to tell your young girl that she isn't to attract a boy with her dressing and what have you, or lack of dress on, when she thinks that is her lot in life? She knows she doesn't desire sex. Teenagers don't desire sex. Teenagers just have a lot of energy. But because we grown folk will not tell the truth to the child, honey, you may not ever want to be married, and this is the reason why. You may not have a sexual appetite. Homosexuals, are you serious? These are people who are eunuchs. Many of these folks don't want to have sex at all. But because society says you got to be one or the other, are you not a girl? Well, then you must be a boy. Then we must change your sex. Let's go in there and do something about putting something down there.
All right, hey, Shirley, let me just jump in. I'm a little short on time. I did want to get your call before the break. Certainly there are people that are attracted to the same sex and that are romantically and sexually attracted. There are people that are attracted to the opposite sex romantically and sexually. And there are people you call asexual. They have no sexual desire. But I think it's real important as the father of two girls, I can speak to this, that many times girls do not understand the way boys think. And we'd have to tell our daughters, look, boys are trying to look down your shirt boys think about sex a whole lot. And they'd be shocked. And we'd say, you wear that outfit, it means nothing to you, but they're going to look at you. And when they realize that, because they didn't want to be like that, it helped them in terms of how they stepped up morally. All right, back with more. Stay with us.
want, for fire we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the things that people that know me long enough know is that I don't exaggerate to the best of my ability. I don't paint false pictures. I don't say there's a crisis when there's no crisis. I do my best to be accurate. And when I talk to you about influence of the media, when I talk to you about things happening in our society, when I talk to you about the need for awakening, I'm not exaggerating. I'm really not exaggerating. I was walking through an airport in Philadelphia last year, and there was some water on the floor, and I walked, of course, couldn't see it. I my feet went out from under me, and I took a bad fall. I mean, it wasn't like bad fall injury, but I mean, it really hurt, and someone said, "You okay?" "Okay." Yeah, I got up and kept walking, but I hurt. I was sore. Well, you know, I told my workout partner, my assistant Trent, what happened to me, and I told him I bruise very easily. I bruise easily, and then I showed him the side of my leg a few days later. I mean, it looked like someone took a baseball bat to me, and yes, I told you it was a hard fall, and I told you I bruise easily. I wasn't exaggerating. Well, when you step back and start to see what's really being taught, the message is coming forward, the degree that we need awakening in the church, the degree that we're more influenced by the media than by God and His Word, in many, many homes, in many, many churches, and even many, many pastors and leaders, if we're honest about it, I'm not exaggerating with this need for awakening. So 866-34-TRUTH, still time, maybe for a few more of you to get into the program, but join us online at askdrbrown.org. Okay. One of the big things that even though the psychological professions still say this is a disorder, gender identity disorder, someone feels they're born in the wrong body, a boy in a girl's body, a girl in a boy's body, vice versa. Media's no. We're gonna make this thing, celebrate it, born in the wrong body, and there's no disorder, and the only problem is when society looks at you wrong. So as I mentioned in A Queer Thing Happened to America, consider one of the major themes of gay activists today, namely acceptance of the T word, transgender, or in some aspects of transgenderism, the idea that some people are born in the wrong body. How has this been portrayed by the media? Do you care to take an educated guess? So there was an episode on ER called Next of Kin, where a man and his 12-year-old daughter, Morgan, are rushed to the emergency room after a car accident. When Morgan is asked about her favorite color for the cast on her ankle, she says, "I like pink." And throughout the dialogue, Morgan is consistently represented as a she. It's only when one of the doctors is checking on Morgan while she tries to use a bedpan that the shocked doctor explains, "My God, you're a boy." And what does the whole show do? It gets you completely sympathizing with this kid, this, quote, transgender kid. And he's got a Christian mother and stepfather because the father dies. And they're going to bring the torture this kid, cut the hair off, and you're a boy, and just... And all the sympathies are with this little child and against the family trying to help this boy really be a boy. Born in the wrong body, 60 Minutes. Barbara Walters did an up-close personal story for 2020 interviewing Riley Grant, referred to as she throughout, despite the fact that Riley, born Richard, is a boy. And on, and on, and on. And now, GLAAD, as I have mentioned, petitioning CNN and saying, "We do not want you to get the other side of the story out. We do not want people to hear that there are two sides of the story." Friends, this is what I'm dealing with at the University of Central Florida. People in an uproar that the university would dare sponsor a lecture where two intellectuals, two professors, will discuss whether same-sex marriage should be legal or not. This is remarkable. And of course, others saying, "This is what a campus is for. Of course we're going to hold this debate." I will tell you more about that, God willing, on Monday. Gay author David Morris said this: "If cultural change can't be achieved through political means, it's time to do it by sending a message to the country's heart. What better way to do it than by creating thought-provoking and emotionally evocative art? Brokeback Mountain, winner of the Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Motion Picture Soundtrack, and Best Director, and Capote, which captured the award for Best Actor, are films that have changed our worldview. Thanks for getting in touch, Hollywood." There is a movie, Kids Are All Right. Mark Ruffalo plays the sperm donor for a lesbian couple. It's a 2010 movie, The Kids Are All Right. So these are two kids raised by a lesbian couple, right? And he's the sperm donor for both, and they find out who he is. And, well, this is what the actor Mark Ruffalo had to say about those who do not accept same-sex marriage. It's the last dying, kicking, screaming, caged animal response to a world that is changing, a world that's leaving a lot of those old, bigoted, unaccepting views behind. It's over. Those against it are very tricky, and they're using really dark ways to promote their ideas. If you do not want the radical redefinition of marriage, you're trickily using dark way. Yikes. But this is how a lot of these folks think. We pray for their salvation. We pray for them to come and know the Lord and know the truth. I don't expect someone who doesn't know the Lord to hold to godly values. But are we just drinking that stuff in and allowing it to be drunk in our home? You know, we talk about drinking the Kool-Aid, the poison drink, and not knowing it. I say this is worse. Friends, earlier this week, we did something which kind of shocked me, our resource department. No hype here either. It did shock me when, and I even talked to them afterwards. They said, no, we want to do this, make this offer available. We took 6 weeks of classes, four nights a week, 6 weeks of classes, our School of Cultural Engagement, dealing with Only Genesis, the Basis to Interpret the Bible and Life, John Rankin, Reclaiming Godly Sexuality, Joe Dallas, It's Time to Rock the Boat, taught by me, Cultural Apologetics by Frank Turek, Separation of Church and State, Joe Infranco, Senior Attorney with Alliance Defense Fund, Engaging Culture, Congress, and the Media, Pat Mahoney. I mean, 6 weeks, four nights a week of terrific, terrific classes. If you paid to attend them at a seminary level, you'd pay probably $500 for those classes together. That wouldn't be a surprise. We put them all on CD with outline study guides that go with some of the classes. We put them all on CDs. You can listen on MP3 on your computer, on your MP3 player, for just $125. But I was told by the resource department, we have some extra in stock. Let's get them out to folks. This will be a great resource. So for $40, no jokes, no hype, $40, you can have all 6 weeks of classes. You can listen to them. You will be blessed and edified. You can share them with your friends. Here's how to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. Should I give the standard line? Supplies are limited. I don't know how limited, but take advantage of this. All right. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the School of Cultural Engagement, the special offer. We're extending it this week. 1-800-278-9978. If you don't have a queer thing happen to America, just the chapter on the media alone is worth the purchase price of the book. You can get that on Amazon.com or by calling that same number, 1-800-278-9978. And I'm sure we have some special resource offers with the book as well. Pray about standing with us, becoming a torchbearer, helping hold our hands up as we stand for moral culture revolution. Be in prayer. We'll be broadcasting, God willing, live from Orlando tomorrow before the debate. But be in prayer that truth and light will shine. My bottom line, we are in the world. We are not of the world. We are called to be the people of God. We are called to be lights in dark places. But Jesus said, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? May each of us, you and me, may we purify our souls. May we purify our lives. May we get rid of the pollution, the things that are destructive. May we feast on God's word and God's truth. May we be changed so we can go and change our world. Change the world.